Today we're going to take a close look at your life mission on Earth. What have you accepted as your mission? And what does God say about your mission? Is there a serious gap between God's idea and your idea? Or are you truly walking the path according to the divine will? We hope to find some very surprising and important answers, some special revelations, and perhaps we shall discover a new way to expand and fulfill your purpose on earth. First, let's meditate and touch the source of all life. I am not flesh and blood. I am spirit. I answer to no other name. I am pure, eternal, divine substance, unconfined in a mortal tomb. My spirit is the infinite spirit, the spirit of God, and all that denies it is a lie, without power. My loyalty and my trust are in God, who says, Son, all that I have is thine. My infinite spirit is thine. My infinite substance is thine. Be not deceived by the arm of flesh. The divine kingdom that I have given you is the fullness, the wholeness, the infinite oneness of my spirit, perfect, without beginning, without end, never born, never dying. This is what I, the Father, give to I, the Son. And this is an eternal covenant that no man and no condition can rend asunder or remove. Live in it now. Trust God. Trust the wisdom and power of God. And lean not on thine own understanding. For your spirit is all that exists on this earth and in worlds to come. I am one spirit, and that spirit you are now. We have three great truths which clarify God's idea about our mission on earth. They are God's holy instructions to man. They are divine law, backed by divine power. meaning that they are the ordained path of man that leads to life eternal. Here is divine truth number one. Son, all that I have is thine. Divine truth number two. The kingdom of God is within you. Divine truth number three. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Do you notice how simple the words are? They're not ponderous philosophic theories. They're not double-meaning, polysyllabic tongue-twisters. And yet millions of human beings on this earth do not know what these words mean. And they cannot benefit by them. Millions more, even in the highest places, ignore these words. And millions still more, wise in their own conceits, have substituted their own man-made concepts about God's path to salvation, with results so disastrous that many generations of young people have turned away from Scripture. They have witnessed the frustrations and the weaknesses of their elders. They have watched the breakdown of human hopes. They have seen the faith of their parents unfulfilled. And they have assumed that the words of holy men are feeble, old-fashioned, out of step with modern technology. How wrong they are. Divine words can never fail. Divine words can never grow old or obsolete. The real and only failure is that the armor flesh is deaf to the words of spirit and blind to the hand of love that reaches across the infinite to help man ascend to his earthly paradise. As heirs of God, it is our responsibility to make the words of God living flesh, to give them visible meaning, to clothe them with divine forms. We who feel the throb of divinity within are ordained to explain and to demonstrate the words that mankind has let fall like seeds by the wayside. Our function is to become living transparencies for the eternal word until the light of God is kindled in every heart and written in deeds of fire, as a sign that the Word of God is the infallible path of wisdom for all men. There is a perfect divine plan to make your life one with God's purpose. It begins with your understanding that God has already given you all that God has. That is the meaning of Son, all that I have is thine. That is your foundation stone. God's covenant with you. It is the voice of God assuring you that no matter what appears in the material world of passing time, the spiritual reality of you is always whole, always perfect, always under divine protection. The infinity of God is always your real I, because God is always individualizing as the spiritual I that you are. Today, tomorrow, always, God will continue individualizing as your invisible identity. Because, Son, all that I have is thine is a permanent dispensation in which Father and Son remain one forever. So now, in meditation, cherish this truth. And let this truth transform your flesh into spiritual flesh. Hear the words of divine law within. Son, all that I, God, have is thine. All is thine. This is the living fact of your life that someday will take you through death untouched. Your deep acceptance that you now have all that God has is vital to the fulfillment of your mission on earth. Let us look at divine truth number two. Not spoken by man, remember, but voiced by God. Hear it now again, deep within your soul, and let it transform your blood into a living fountain of light. The kingdom of God is within you. Hold that in consciousness until you can never walk past it again. Could the infinite kingdom of God fit inside the finite mortal human body? Is this a symbol, or is it a living truth? Can the allness of God fit inside a human being? Can the infinite treasures of the divine kingdom fit into a temporary skeleton of flesh and blood? The answer must be no. So then let us open our hearts to the electrifying full magnitude of this revelation. God is saying direct to you, my allness includes my eternal life, my eternal spirit, my eternal substance, my eternal universe, my eternal immortality, my eternal perfection. All that I am now, my power, my attributes, my infinite being, is the self of you now. Therefore, can you be finite and have the infinite kingdom of God within you? Can you be mortal and have the immortal kingdom of God within you? Then reconsider very carefully, who are you? Who is so important that God sends divine messengers to tell you that His infinite kingdom is within you? Is it not clear that you must be the Son of God? Is it not clear that God's being in you is your real name, your real identity? Is there any doubt that God's kingdom in you is His immortal life and spirit? And if all this is true, why do you think God revealed it on earth? Was it so that we would continue in our mortal ways, living under the false, painful, cruel laws of material matter, wondering whether we and our children will make it into the next century? Did God reveal His Spirit, His kingdom, as the reality of all visible flesh, so that we could continue living on the material surface of life until we die? No, definitely not. There was a third divine truth. God said much more than the kingdom of God is within you. God also gave you your earth mission, proclaiming that you must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. These specific instructions from God are the building blocks to give divine meaning to life and to bring the full power of the kingdom into your daily experience on this earth. From these God-given facts, your function in the divine plan is unmistakably clear. God wants you to seek, to find, and to bring forth the full kingdom of God within you. Your earthly mission is to externalize infinity, to be a pure transparency for the spiritual kingdom within. Certainly this can be clear to all of us now. Suppose we now look at these revelations from God and put these building blocks to work. Because you have all that God has, you are on earth to bring forth God's omniscience, God's omnipotence, and God's omnipresence. You must externalize these. As the light of God, you are here to express that light. As the infinite Spirit of God, That spirit must now flow out from the kingdom within you. Please notice one major difference between the divine way and the human way. You are not expected to use your human will, human judgment, or human powers in your real mission. Everything flows out from the kingdom within. To understand this, dwell a moment with this energizing truth. Say it within you slowly. I am God individualizing. I am God individualizing. Take this with you wherever you go on this earth. The human learns to wait silently upon the Lord. God works as you. Then you follow through. The Father within doeth the works. In this manner, God individualizes as you, and your life shows forth as the image and likeness of divine action. As you practice, I am God individualizing, you will discover that more and more you are about your Father's business. You find that you are on earth to overcome mortal hypnosis by making your mind and body an instrument for the one self. All these purposes are ordained for you by God and are released by living trustfully and faithfully in your spiritual center. Not in a corporeal body or in a corporeal world. So whenever progress seems slow and material or mental problems linger too long, remember that they are not happening in the kingdom of God within you. They are not happening in your spiritual reality. They are happening only in the imitation you who has not yet learned how to let the kingdom within be the one law of your life. And the random chaotic thoughts that often whirl through your brain will begin to behave and be quiet. A major part of your mission is to develop special faculties. Faculties that can receive the qualities and thoughts of God from infinity and transmit them to earth. You must develop incorporeal senses that can see, hear, and feel incorporeally. You must also learn how to separate your mind from world beliefs, how to replace human concepts with divine substance, how to discern the distinctions between material life and spiritual life, how to step out of death, out of the aging process, out of suffering, helplessness, war, radioactivity, disease, limitations, and the false powers of evil. Suppose that you gave a box of colored crayons to a group of 3-year-old children, and you asked them to draw a picture of St. Peter's magnificent cathedral in Rome. What do you think you would get? Could any 3-year-old child conceive the scope and the grandeur of the architecture? Would any of the drawings resemble the original church itself? Very unlikely, isn't it? Now, when your senses behold infinity, they struggle like a 3-year-old trying to reproduce St. Peter's Church with crayon on a white sheet of paper. They can only make a feeble, unsuccessful attempt. The task is too big. The inability of the senses of man to fulfill this task is what we call this world. One great secret taught to us by the mystics is that God's spirit and God's qualities are always present and always operating. Unfortunately, our 5 material senses cannot make contact with these spiritual qualities and transmit them into human experience. The reason for this limitation was taught by Jesus. Even today, no one is aware of that, because the same teaching was not taught by the church. The truth is so shocking that even metaphysical students and traditional worshippers of God do not know this one great truth that you and I must know. And it is this: God did not create corporeal man. I believe your entire demonstration on earth will suffer totally until you understand and accept this sacred truth. If you find it hard to accept, simply turn to page 137 in Joel's book, Beyond Words and Thoughts. There in bold capital letters, Joel states, quote, "Incorporeal God can create only incorporeal man." I also suggest that you read every word of that chapter many times until you are certain that God created you incorporeally and not corporeally. When you know that, you will also realize that God, who did not create you corporeally, did not create your corporeal senses. The human ear cannot hear God because God did not create the human ear. The human eye cannot see God for the same reason. 5-sense hypnosis has made sense cripples of the human race. Sense blindness is the only cause of every human illness. Jesus never saw one incurable disease on this earth because he wasn't looking through a human eye. Furthermore, in his thousands of healings, he never healed a human body. He removes sense hypnosis, sense blindness, He knew that five-sense hypnosis hides the perfect spiritual body of every mortal on earth. He removed the universal false corporeal sense of life externalized by every victim. And right there, perfect incorporeal man stood, shining, not under a glass darkly, but free, not misperceived by the corporeal eye, but in the pure image and likeness of God. Again, I offer you the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9, in which Jesus reveals that the five senses, or the five porches, as he puts it, present the illusion of corporeality and confine mankind to bodies that deteriorate and die. The five porches are the symbol of the five senses in which the sick human race lies and dies. Jesus takes a cripple out of the five-sense concept of life, and the cripple walks. The five deceivers separate us from God and from God's qualities. The senses have absolutely no capacity to receive direct guidance from God. As Paul told us, they cannot know God aright. They are blind to God's perfection. They are deaf to the still, small voice that melts the earth. The senses conceal the one infinite self, and they lock us in separate selves apart from God. They report conditions where God's world is unconditioned. They trap us in finite selves that can never be one with God. They block our perception of omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. They cause us to fight and resist world illusions of false power, little realizing that it is the very limitations of the senses that are externalizing their own misconceptions into material form. Forms that have no divine power and no divine substance. The healings of Jesus reveal dimensions of reality, present but unattainable to the five corporeal senses. Jesus revealed that infinite perfection is not in the future, but in liberation from five-sense material concepts. Be ye reborn of the truth and the Spirit was his way of opening heaven on earth. Whether Jesus or Joel takes you above the five senses, the Christ way and the infinite way are the same way. God is not the creator of eyes that become blind, ears that are deaf, or legs that have lost their power to walk. God created perfection, which is as eternal as God. All corporeal sense, when lifted by Christ's illumination, will reveal that H-bombs, cancer, mental sickness, terrorism, and other counterfeit images of the Antichrist are graven images that appear only in corporeal man's dream of a selfhood apart from God. Remember your three basic instructions from God. Son, all that I have is thine. The kingdom of God is within you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And on Saturday and Sunday, when you join the group meditation at 11 a.m. California time, use these three principles as your home base. Expand them in your contemplation. Integrate them into your consciousness. And above all, trust them, and the treasures of heaven will appear from the invisible to bless your life. Let us enter the silence again, in truth, with the knowledge that my spirit is not inside a corporeal body. I am spirit. I am not in a corporeal body. I am not in a corporeal world. I am infinite spirit, living the perfect life of spirit, no matter what I see, independent of all images that appear in the mortal corporeal senses. Now and forever, I live in the spiritual universe, where nothing dies, where nothing deteriorates. These three principles, taken into consciousness, becoming living consciousness, will go before you and make the crooked places straight. They are the Word of God to you, without an intermediary. They are spoken by the inner Christ, direct to you, from one to the one. They are divine law. Do not walk past them. Hold a silence. Wait for the blessing of the Eternal Father within. And so we now stand free of the belief that the kingdom of God is in the future or outside, somewhere that we have to go to find it, to lasso it, to petition for it. It already exists within us. And that within being infinite, we must be infinite as well. I should like to look now at the one statement that God made among those three, which says, all things will be added unto you. What could those things be? If God is peace, it would appear that peace would be added unto you. If God is love, it would appear that love will be added unto you. If God is justice, then justice must be added unto you. If God is supply, in fact, it cannot even be added unto you. It already is the spirit of your being. All it can do, if you find the kingdom of God within, if you live in it, it can only appear as supply. It already is the very nature of your being. And so we are given a carte blanche that if we stand in the identity of spirit, not mortality, in the identity of spirit, not human flesh, all that is of God, which is in our spirit, will externalize into our life. It would appear that disease would be impossible when the Spirit of God is externalizing as your life. Fear would be impossible. Hate would be impossible. Destruction would be impossible. Do you believe this? Do you believe that in the knowledge of spirit as your identity and your ability to be a transparency for that spirit, that you will be taken beyond the possibility of death or destruction? That the heavenly riches will manifest in your daily life? That you will find the peace that passeth understanding? And if you do believe this, what could be more practical than spending a great deal of your contemplations and meditations with the knowledge that all that God has can manifest in your life if you are faithful to the acceptance of this truth and the rejection of the opposite, which says you can have other things which are not of God? Do you see the division there? When you accept other things that are not of God, what is wrong? There is a gap, a leakage in the consciousness in which somehow, although you're accepting spirit on the one hand, you still think there's a mortal being there too. And why do you do that? Because your senses see that mortal being in the mirror. Because your senses tell you there is one. Because your senses are the Antichrist. Until they are receiving from the incorporeal level of your being, until they are one with your incorporeal senses. And so you may expect your senses to continue to deny what you are trying to learn. Your senses will not show you your incorporeal self. They will not show you your incorporeal supply. They will not show you your incorporeal life without end. In many of us, they cannot even produce a home to live in or a companion to walk with, because they are glued into something that we have to learn about. They are really captives. And these senses that we so yearn to use and which we allow to be the supreme court of our mind, we are going to learn in such a manner that we never forget it, that these senses are Judas in disguise when they are allowed to make decisions that should be made by your divine consciousness. The five deceivers, the five Judases, have put this world into a peculiar position. We had thought that God made the senses and therefore we knew what they were for. And yet they do not see God. They see things God did not make. They see broken arms. They see tumors. They see cancers. They see H-bombs. They see cocaine. These so-called marvelous senses, which enable us to move around the world, they have fooled us. They are the five porches that keep out the sun. Oh, they have their purpose. They move these corporeal images around. But they are part of a world mind scheme to keep us in bondage to mortality, to limitation, to lack, to costly mistakes. And because these senses do not see God, they actually cause many people to be atheists. The people who cannot see God's work on earth, because their senses cannot report it, say there is no God. The senses actually, for many, for millions in fact, the senses say God is dead. Can you conceive of God making senses that declare that God is dead? Or senses that declare God does not exist? Yet this is what the human senses do. In other places, the human senses try to fill in the gap between not seeing God and inventing a concept of God. And when that concept fails to respond to prayer, again we are duped by the senses, which told us, but God has to be somewhere around here, up there or out here or out there. There's got to be a God somewhere. He has to have ears like me. He has to hear what I say to him. He has to see my plight. He has to see the sickness in my family. Again, the senses, living within their own limitations, force you into concepts that have no reality. And so you discover that the words of God are given to you to assure you that if you will follow them carefully, these three particular instructions that God gave, you are going to overcome the limitations of the senses. And we will pursue that in the second half of today's talk.